We have three beautiful and powerful texts in our lectionary this morning, the prophet Micah beginning, and the question at the end, when what shall I bring before the Lord? Increase sacrifices. He's shown you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Beautiful, beautiful passage of scripture, which, by the way, point of history, used by President Jimmy Carter in his inauguration speech 40 years ago. And then the beautiful passage of Paul with the Corinthian church, a church in conflict, but still that phrase, the foolishness of God, if there was such a thing as wiser than the wisdom of man. And then our text this morning from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus with his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Now, the season of Epiphany, of course, is bringing forth the glory of God. Christ has now come into the world. We've continued through much of the Gospel of Matthew and parts of John. It began with Jesus being baptized. He immediately went up into the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days without food, and the devil came to him with the three temptations. And it just struck me when Pastor Mark was talking about the 40 days, I thought, if our Lord can endure 40 days of fasting and temptation in the desert, we can endure 40 days in the Word, certainly. Following this temptation, Jesus, of course, returns to Galilee, begins with the calling of his disciples. He goes all through Galilee, teaching, preaching, healing every disease and infirmity, and the crowds are soon following him. People are flocking to see him throughout Galilee and the Decapolis, the 10 cities, and into Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan, perhaps even the non-Jews now coming to hear Jesus. In chapter 5, verse 1, now seeing the crowds, he goes up on a mountain, sat down with his disciples. It's not known for certain where the Sermon on the Mount or this particular aspect of it took place, but if ever you're given the opportunity to travel in the Holy Land, they will take you to a place that's believed, at least by oral tradition, to be the site where Jesus delivered these Beatitudes. And it is a beautiful hillside that sits at one end, I believe the northern end, perhaps northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee. And to help mark that place, of course, there's a church there, just like wherever there's something of import in the New or Old Testament, a church has been built and been there for centuries. But a beautiful place. So just picture for yourself for a few minutes, sitting at the feet of Jesus now, with whatever is racking your brain, your mind, your problems, the hardships of life, and now Jesus is with you, you're at his feet, and he begins by saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What exactly is meant by poor in spirit? Gospel of Luke, I believe, records these words also, but has simply the word poor. But Jesus, here in Matthew's Gospel, is said to have included these words, the poor in spirit. What does it mean to be in poverty of spirit? Let's start with some opposites. It is the opposite. What is it not? First of all, it is the opposite of being haughty, self-assertive, self-sufficient, a disposition that the world praises. Last night, I had a few minutes to have a conversation with a world-class theologian. And he made the remark at the table. He said, the Beatitudes of Jesus are all counterintuitive to the thinking of the world. And when you look through this list of what Jesus says, blessed are those, poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers. It's true. Jesus holds up values that run counter and opposite to what the world and the culture all around us through all of time teaches and preaches and lives. It's counterintuitive. Blessed are the poor in spirit. It's the opposite of Pharaoh, who said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? The poor in spirit, those living in poverty of spirit, realize this. I have nothing, I am nothing, I can do nothing, and have need of all things. Now, maybe you're not sitting at a point in life where you can say that honestly. Maybe things are going well. Maybe things, you're at the top of your game. I don't know. But perhaps you've had those times in your life when you've realized how completely dependent and needy we are, not just of one another, but on the mercies of God. Or maybe you're in one of those moments or days or weeks or years right now. And you've been there for a while. And if you haven't, maybe you're like the young person at confirmation that we lay hands on when we pray. Give them patience in their suffering. And your suffering and your need, if not now, will be to a moral certainty at some point in your life. And now Jesus speaks to you in your broken condition, in your needy heart, and he says, blessed are you, poor in spirit, impoverished in the spirit. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Poverty of spirit is first evidence of God's divine work of grace being worked in you. The prodigal son, we all know that parable, perhaps the best known of the parables, had his initial awakening in a faraway country. He'd isolated himself from his father. He grabbed his share of the inheritance, ran off as far away as he could get, squandered it on riotous living. Found himself in poverty, took on a job feeding pigs, and came to his senses one day. And he had that initial awakening in a far country. And it's recorded with these words, he began to be in want. Jesus continues to pronounce his benedictions on his people. And we see other examples in Scripture, including some of Jesus' encounters where he finds people. When he visits with them, talks with them, ministers to them, somehow the barrier is broken down and their humanity and their neediness comes to the fore in front of Christ himself. One example, of course, would be the woman at the well. John chapter 4, beautiful story. Jesus, traveling through the region of Samaria, comes to a well. He encounters a woman there. They get into a conversation when the disciples go off to town to buy food. And Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks this well will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water, so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. She soon would become keenly aware of her impoverished spirit, her need, her dependency on the Lord Jesus to bring her to peace and complete satisfaction. This scene of the Beatitudes is a scene that all of us yearn to be a part of, to be at the feet of Christ and to know the perfect peace that he gives. I'm reminded of a verse from Isaiah chapter 26. It's a favorite old verse. It was one of those that my mother tried to, I know, infuse in us in those hurried mornings before school. And I guess she said it enough that it stuck, but I've described that to you many times. On the way out the door, get on the bus, hour-long ride into school and running behind in cold weather and couldn't find your books and your pencils and your clothes and whatever. And finally, mom's right at the door trying to shove kind of a quick devotional at us. And one of the verses that she would use was this quote from Isaiah, thou, in the old English, of course, she was King James, thou dost keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And I can tell you, there was anything but perfect peace in the household and a rush to get to school and get on the bus that morning. But just think about those words and drink them in for a minute, what the prophet is saying. The power and the immensity of that promise. Thou wilt or thou dost keep him or her in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You find yourself hungry, find yourself thirsty, find yourself needy from time to time, a healing of the soul, a peace, a perfect peace, as Jesus said, that passes all understanding. Keep your mind and your heart on Christ. Our minds are kept on Christ when we engage his word consistently in our lives. And I truly, through the years in sermons, try to resist using a sermon as a backdrop to make a political statement or to push some product or some new campaign or this type of thing. But I'd like you to think about that in terms of what we're coming up to in another month, 40 days in the Word. And to think about it and give it a try. Give it a try. And see what difference it makes in your life to take a few minutes every day to listen to the Word of God. Oh, I know you're busy, and I know you have heavy schedules, and many of you a lot of demands, work, family, responsibilities in the community, sports, running here and there, and not to mention the time that's taken up in our days, every day, with devices like this. And they kind of manage us, don't they, at times? But think about this. Thou dost keep his mind in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And a mind that's stayed on our Lord is a mind that is in his word, drinking from his feet consistently, regularly. Nobody's interested in getting an advanced degree in New Testament theology from Yale Divinity School. That's not what we're asking for. But simply to have and take and make the time to be in Christ's word. What about you this morning? Are you in want for peace today? If you are, listen to the words of Christ. Reread these Beatitudes tonight before you retire. They are words for impoverished souls. This same Jesus, later in this Gospel of Matthew, would utter some of the most peace-giving and satisfying words anywhere. Back with his promise, come to me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus stands at the ready to meet the needs of those who seek, to meet the needs of impoverished souls like yours and like mine. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand.